It was 5 a.m., August, and it's hot. And I had just gotten called out of bed. And I am looking around and there's nothing, nothing. I had 10 minutes to get ready. All of my clothes are on the floor. It's the same clothes I wore the day before, because that's what you do when you live on a farm. You put the same clothes on again. I go in and I eat. I have 5 minutes. And then I begin to trudge up to the field. The field is where we are at 5 a.m. in July, in the summer, when most kids aren't doing this. We're trudging up to the field, and the field is where we get assigned a row. We hoe, we pull weeds, we plant, we learn to be efficient. I'm trying to figure out how to do this quickly so I don't have to do it again. And then you come home for lunch, you get a little bit of lunch, you try to take a nap because there's not much else to do when it's 95 degrees. And then we do it all again for dinner. And that's every single day. Every single day. This is what rural Maryland is. And most people would think, wow, you're close to the land, you're close to nature, it's farm to fork. You know, those are all our trendy things these days. Well, guess what? That's all it is when you are there. That's all. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to let that be my all. Mm-hmm. I really, really wanted something else. I needed to go. Nobody else went. Nobody left. Nobody went to college. Nobody got advanced degrees, but I was going. I got a job. I learned some skills. I got my first chance to go to college. I went to a city school, vastly different from my rural upbringing. You know, everybody wears black. They're all hip. People commute. You know, there's fancy artsy stuff. I had no idea what I was getting in for. I was very overwhelmed. I had, very little people that I knew because I didn't go to school with friends from home. Mm-hmm. I was often in situations where I had no idea of ever being exposed to this, much less what to do about it. Mm-hmm. So I finished school, got through it, got my first job. You know, I had an opportunity during undergrad to be part of a program because I was going to medical school. So I had an opportunity to be part of a program where you got exposure to the medical field in respiratory therapy, which was great. I mean, people make careers out of this. You know, for me, this was kind of a internship, right? It was a great, well-paid job that for me was exposure to the industry. So I go to work. I'm very thorough. I'm very thoughtful. I am very businesslike, you know, so I get my job done. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm reliable. I am asked for when people want me to work in their space. So that was all wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. I then often got to the point where, wow, something happened that people didn't expect with a patient.
Really? Tell me more.
So the patient, you know, the outcome was not what we all wanted it to be. And all of a sudden, in my early 20s, I am in a position to be called in for legal depositions. You know, let's write up the documentation. Let's figure out what happened. This was a group of people. It wasn't me, you know, at the end of the day, but it was an early 20s experience where I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is my career going to be this, right? Mm-hmm. Am I going to have to, you know, face this on a regular basis? The fear mm-hmm. of not having a job, you know, everything that you had ever worked for being gone in the poof in mm-hmm. a minute. And I go into this deposition. I did not sleep for 3 days before. I think I threw up in the bathroom. On my way in, I spent 3 hours in the room being grilled on every, and lawyers can ask a lot of very specific questions repeatedly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I finished up this 3 hours and I was exhausted and I was mm-hmm. like, wow, I don't know if this is what I want, right? I don't know if this is the right thing. So I'm going into work the next day or two.
That's tough, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So I'm going into work, and I had this patient I had not seen before. So I walk into the room, you know, hospitals at the time were scant, two beds, little TV on the wall, right? Big, huge thing, little radiator that's making noises going, you know, that's kind of going on right now. This woman in the bed, you know, she's covered in blankets. You know, I was a respiratory therapist, so most of our patients were repeat visitors, you know, because they had some element of lung disease. So she had been before. I had not worked with her. We had never met. I walk in, you know, I introduce myself, you know, I tell her what we're going to do. And she looks at me and she says, honey, why don't you, you know, be more of you? And I'm like, okay, I walk in the door thinking, you know, is this my right life and my right career? And this woman who I have never met before looks at me and says, honey, why don't you be more of you? I'm like, you don't even know me. You do not even know me. And so I just stood there for a while with this sort of daydream on my head going, oh my gosh, like, what do I do with this? And she says, you know, you have a lot in you. You just need to, you know, show that to more people. I had no idea what that meant at the time. I didn't really understand it. But again, blank look on my face, deer in the headlights. What is this woman doing? So I immediately said, okay, well, it's time. Let's do your treatment.
Let's change the subject. Thank you very much.
I needed to get back to something efficient. So we get back to that. I do the treatment. But you know, when I walked out, the thing that stuck in my head was there's something there. There's something in what she's saying to me that I should pay attention to, that I need to learn from, that will help me somehow, right? It's one of those feelings that you have, and I just didn't know how to explain it. So we continue to see each other on her visits. It's terrible to look forward to someone being sick, but I was looking forward to someone to seeing her when she was there, and we talked a lot, and I began to understand that she was trying to tell me to build relationships, you know, with people. I was very good and very efficient, but I was not, you know, connecting personally on
that.
What
was her name again?
Her name was Thelma.
Thelma.
She was such a wonderful woman. She was a Black woman from the South, who had grown up during times of integration. So she experienced that. She experienced not being able to have an ability to get a job other than a maid. She experienced a lot of very difficult times, both sort of what she received, but also what her family experienced. She had a huge family. They were so supportive, very loving, but very much having lived through some very hard times that none of us can even imagine. But she was one of those people, like when she looked at you, her eyes, it was like she was the wisest person I had ever met. You know, she knew, she never said very much, but whatever she said was very important to listen to. She was that kind of person. So we continued to get to know each other. She would give me a little tip or so every time I saw her. And it's almost like I craved it. I'm like, I need to hear what she has to say to me. So she would always tell me, well, you know, how is this going with this person? You know, are you, you know, making friends? You know, how are you loving that person? And I'm like, nobody had ever asked me that in my life.
Probably not.
That's what we talked about when I was hoeing weeds on the road in Maryland at all. So we got to know each other, you know, everything was great, and I was scooting along, you know, things were good. But then one day I walked in, I got called to the ER, and you know, you just know, right? I just knew that was Thelma.
Oh.
I walk in, and she is there on the table. I'm like, wow, I know who this is. I know who this is. So I explain who it is. We do what we usually do during those kinds of situations. We do our emergency training. Everything, everything the way it was. I was very professional, no emotion, because that's what you're trained for. You're trained to react for the situation. And I knew she wasn't going to make it, and she didn't make it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. So I remember how deeply that affected me. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do with this? You know, she's not here anymore. How am I, like, what does that mean? Right. So for me, it was really about how do I take what she had like gifted me with, and what do I go do with that in my life? So that's kind of what happened, right? I changed careers eventually. That whole experience with the deposition, I didn't really care to repeat that. So I changed careers into one of my other passions. You know, medicine is a passion, food is a passion. You know, I ended up going to work for Kraft, great company. Mm-hmm. I worked there for 16 years, had phenomenal experiences, put together a really unique career path, and had a lot of fun doing it. Mm-hmm. And on my exit, the thing that I remember the most is that, you know, when you ever go to retirement parties or people leaving parties, mm-hmm. people are chatty, they're talking to each other, they are gossiping about so and so or such and such, or what's this person gonna do? They shake your hand, you know, everybody says, yay, hope you do well, and then everybody leaves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody had anything to drink other than water, right? We're sitting outside on the patio. There were probably 15 or 20 people who were left at the time. A lot of folks had been sort of exiting during that time frame. And the unique thing about that was every single person around that table said something about how I had affected their career, how I had affected their life. Like, Charlotte pushed me in a way I'd never been pushed before. She challenged me to try something new. I thought I wanted to go down that career path, but I didn't know how to do it. So she really, truly helped me make that step. And now, oh my gosh, it's like so many doors are open for me. There were a few people who said, wow, I didn't really think I could do that. That was a really unconventional, like, rebellious behavior, right? For this particular person, they're like, wow, I like this. I am successful at doing this now. So that was my farewell. That was the thing that I had worked for my entire career. The thing I didn't get paid for, the thing that didn't come out in my reviews, that was the thing that I wanted to do for me. So, so that's kind of how it all started.
Thelma. You inherited the banner of being Thelma and being a rebel in a way most people don't think of being a rebel, which is to create those really powerful relationships and build people up and encourage them and lift them up. And I think that's what Thelma did for you, and that's what you did for your team, and that's what you continue to do now as a speaker and a consultant and a coach. Yes.
Teach people how to do what's unconventional,